Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Season 6 of the D1 Only Podcast presented by TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress. My name is Eduardo Villalpando and I'm your host, and I want to thank our sponsor TAP for making this possible. Also, thanks to all the listeners for being here with us. Today we got ourselves a very special guest on the show, Ben Goldberg. Thank you for being here, man, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eduardo. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you, man. Ben is a NCAA Division I student athlete at the University of California, Los Angeles, as well as a captain for the men's tennis team. Prior to his time in Westwood, he was a five-star recruit according to Tennis Recruiting and attended Palisades Charter High School. While in UCLA, he's a six-time Athletic Director's Honor Roll member. He's now in his fifth year with the Bruins, and he's playing one of the top spots in the singles lineup. So just congrats on a great career so far, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a dream.
Yeah,
it's been a dream come true.
I guess let's just start with your time at UCLA. It's crazy to me because, like, I remember when you first came into UCLA and you really struggled to play matches because of how stacked the team was back then. And I mean, it still is, but it was really hard, especially back then, you being so young. How tough was it transitioning from being a great junior player to having to work even harder to break into the Bruins lineup?
Yeah, I knew I was a good junior, but maybe not a great junior, and probably not one that would be ready to start in the lineup, especially singles at UCLA. But, you know, you're just around so many great players. As a freshman, we had Gage Reimer, Evan Zhu, Marty Redlicky, Austin Rapp, Logan Staggs. The list goes on and on. So you literally you just get better by just being around them. You know, it oozes off into you, like, you know, they push you and you get better. But, I stayed ready. My goal as a freshman was to make the travel squad. I didn't want a red shirt. I wanted to go, and we had a great traveling schedule that year. We're going to Florida. We're going to Georgia. We're going to Tulsa. We're going to Charlottesville. You know, I did not want to miss out on that. So that was my initial goal. And I made that, and I was thrilled to be a part of that as a little young freshman. And then there was an injury or two, and then I found myself in the doubles lineup. And my debut dual match was at indoors against USC, and Austin Rapp and I won our match. I'll never forget that. Just they threw me in the line of fire right away, but I knew I was ready to play the Trojans then. Yeah.
Wait, so you did get to play a significant amount of doubles matches, also along with Max Cressy. Shout out to him,
yes.
Former D1 only guest. How do you think he's been doing recently? Because I think his story is pretty similar to you in a way, because I remember when he first got to UCLA, he was just playing three doubles. He was not playing singles at all, and he ended up playing one singles, one doubles, similar to you, as you're playing mostly three or two doubles, singles this year. So how do you think he's doing and just his progress throughout the years?
Yeah, it's an incredible story. Yes, like you said, he was not, you know, his singles was probably not close to making it. When he first started, he would be the first to tell you that. I was his roommate his senior year when he really started to kick off. You know, the Cleveland Challenger, all that stuff. It all started clicking for him, and I lived with him, and some of the stuff he says is just like, okay, it sounds nuts, like his goals and dreams, but now, are you kidding me? It's not nuts, because look, he's on the biggest stage of the sport, and he's proven it week after week. But it's an incredible story, like, how much he's improved and how hard he's worked, and he deserves it all, because a lot of doubters too, and just shut them all off, and he's staying in his own lane, and he's proven a lot of people wrong. So that's I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, that's great that you mentioned that, and also the fact that you mentioned that he started to come into his own and started playing even better during his senior year. When would you say you started coming into your own and started realizing about not only the potential you had, but actually started to play really solid tennis at a great conference like it's the Pac-12?
Yeah. My junior year. So I played doubles that first year, the freshman year. And then my sophomore year, I didn't really play that much at all. And then in the fall leading into my junior year, I felt a little bit of a jump in my in my game and my physicality a bit. I'm not the biggest guy, but I, you know, I was a little kid as a freshman. Coach Billy would tell you, way too small and skinny. But yeah, I'd say my junior year really started to feel confident and just believing in myself. I know I can. I've always been able to play good ball, but like just believing in myself, I knew I belonged out there. So. And then the results started to show little by little, like better wins.
And do you think it was a matter of confidence, or was it more because you actually think you improved your game, or was it like more experience because you were a junior, you already had played almost like basically 2 years of college tennis and you had a bit more experience than everyone else?
Yeah, I think it's confidence. Like it's crazy what the mind and the mental game can do. Not going back to Cressy real quick, like that guy is literally, it's a all mental game, mental, you know, he only cares about the mental. I actually learned the mental side of stuff. That's all he cares about. I learned a lot from him on that, actually just living with him. And that was my junior year, so that was when we both started to play better and better together. Actually, we're in that little apartment together. but yes, I'd say confidence and being strong with the mind, as Billy would say, he always says, be strong with your mind. And it's really true. because I knew my game was always there, but mentally I just started believing more and more. So.
Wait, and how did you take the fact that, okay, in your freshman year, you started breaking into the doubles lineup, I started securing yourself a spot there. Then as you mentioned, your sophomore year, you didn't get that many matches played for the team, and then how did you keep a positive attitude in those moments to come back stronger your junior year, and it's when you actually like came into your own?
Yeah, I mean that year that I wasn't playing was you know, we've always been competing at UCLA for the national championship, but we were almost a match away. We were number one or number two in the country at indoors. We lost to Wake Forest in the close finals there. Made it to the semifinals, Final Four at the NCAAs. Heartbreaker, lost to Ohio State there. So we were right there knocking on the door. And I was staying ready for, you know, to be a good practice player pushing a top team like that, like we had. You know, this is also a great position to be in, to be honest. Like, it's okay that I wasn't, you know, we don't have to be playing. I have a better perspective on things than just needing to make the lineup. It's okay. So
yeah, I think that's what you're describing is basically the ultimate team. You know, despite you not being able to break the lineup, you're still like encouraging your teammates to do good and just basically helping in whatever they need. If you gotta be the water boy one game, then you'll be there. But yep. At the end of the day, you know the bigger picture, and you know that at the end of the day, if they do good, you do good, right?
Absolutely, yes. And that was yeah, and there's such a, you know, it was a really close team that, like, it was a, you know, I know something, yeah, like we just said, some people you have to be in the lineup, but there's so much more to it, to being on a team, to being on such a high level performing team than, you know, you got to take yourself out of it for sure, and just enjoy the ride whether you're playing or not.
Yeah, and I'm glad you were able to realize that. Actually, most of the players I've had on the podcast, they've told me the same thing, that at the beginning, if they're not playing or they only play doubles, that they're fine with it, because at the end of the day, you can't get too caught up on yourself. You know, there's too many players out there who are great players and great teammates. They got a lot of energy, but at the end of the day, if you don't support your teammates, then that's not really going to cut it, right?
Yep, no, that's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, so from what I've seen, you have always focused a lot on academics while being a student athlete at this level, which obviously is like so high. How have you managed to perform good on the court and off of it as well?
Yes, it was a bit of a rough start. So I think I had a wake-up call at the very beginning. Something where like I can't let that happen again.
Wait, you know, do you mind sharing it?
Well, no, I just kind of too close, I'll put it that way. At the beginning. so, but that's a wake-up call. It was, I mean, it's all a tough transition, high school to college. Everybody will say that, but yeah, that's all. Just cut it close, and ever since then, I've been much improved and on top of my academics, because there's no tennis unless you do well with the school part. So, it's important.
So would you say when you were in high school, you were significantly more interested, or, well, I wouldn't say interested, but more focused on athletics than academics?
I'd say yes. Yes. Like for sure. But you still need to do well in school, but I'd prefer to play to play tennis or watching basketball or football or whatever than hitting the books. But I think it's always been the case, but I know how important school is as well.
Before we continue with another episode of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP, we want to talk to you about our sponsor, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress, who provide the opportunity to any athlete around the world to build their own mental program. TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress offers self-thought manuals focused on the athlete's mindset growth. They give athletes the opportunity to create their own mental program, and these are manuals adapted for different levels at an affordable price. Everyone go check out tapmindset.com as well as the Instagram page tapmindset for more information. And when did you... I imagine that most of your collegiate career, junior collegiate career... your junior career, you knew that you wanted to go to play collegiate tennis. When did you realize about the importance of academics in this process?
You know, that's a good question. Probably like my junior year. I mean, I never had my eye on the Ivy Leagues or Stanford, you know what I mean? Like that's for the elite of in the academic world. But you know, it's important to keep up and have good grades, because, you know, if there's a recruit, maybe for, you know, other players, examples, like they'll take, if it's dead even, and at a good school like UCLA, it could come down to, you know, who's got the better grades. I know that we've had to deny people over the years if they don't have good grades, so it's very important. Yeah.
And since we're talking a little bit about the recruiting process and everything, how did you decide going to UCLA is where you wanted to go, or did you consider any other schools aside from UCLA?
I knew it was where I wanted to go, you know, since I was a baby, to be honest. I did play, I had to play both sides and of the recruiting process, because I'm from right down the street, you know, 15 minutes from campus. Would it be good to go away, grow up? I mean, I have grown up, but, you know, it would be a culture shock to leave here. But once you know, like, you have the opportunity to go to UCLA, like, it's really hard to not go through with that. Yes, I did play, you know, weigh all the other options to go away or to not. But I knew, you know, this would dream come true to be at UCLA. I've been the biggest Bruin fan my whole life. Been going to games, basketball, football, tennis since I was a baby. So I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I actually got to go to a couple of UCLA tennis matches, but they weren't at LATC. They were actually at the Ojai.
Oh, and yes.
Man, the environment there is, like, different, man. And also, I went to a UCLA game against Oregon in men's basketball in Pauley Pavilion when Lonzo was there.
Hit the fadeaway, you know, game winner. Yes, I was right there for that, too.
Man.
I'll never forget that one.
Unreal. Yeah. And just like the student environment is awesome, man. And
yes.
I'm glad you were able to go there. But especially you being a five-star recruit in high school and still deciding to go to a place, because I'm sure you had plenty of options to go, like, on a full ride or almost everything paid to a top program, but you still decided to go to UCLA, which is like the elite of collegiate tennis.
Yeah. Yes, and that's why it's the elite in college tennis. It's the elite in all of universities. It's the number one public university in the country. There's, you know, you can't go you can't go wrong. It's just the weather, the beach, the sun, the people. So I mean, so many great people, legends that came before, and you know, just so much great history. Back, you just mentioned the Ojai. Let's give a little love to the Ojai. I just heard, unfortunately, it will not be the Pac-12 tournament. Will not be held there.
Yeah, it will be at San Diego, right? Barnes Tennis Center.
Correct. Yes. Nice. You're up to date. Very good. I just heard that news, and that's a huge bummer. I know you would know, coming from Weill, how much the Ojai means to everybody in that little cute town. But seriously, like, this is something we really look forward to every single year. We didn't get it last year. We're not going to get it this year. That place is so, so special. I've never played my best there, so maybe I won't miss the tennis.
Yeah, the courts are not that great in
I'm just too,
lower
I'm too in awe of all the surroundings. Like, it's cool. Like, well, no, seriously, I went there so many years as a kid, not even playing in the – I played the junior tournament there. But, you know, just watching the upper courts and not last year because we didn't play, but the year before, I found myself playing on upper Libby in singles, and I was like, it took me a couple games to get, is this real? Like,
so cool. You were, what number were you playing then? Four?
I played four in a match against Utah.
This is like the first days of the Ojai, right? When there's not like many people.
Exactly. So we, but I played doubles with Max up on, you know, with Cressy up on the upper courts as well. So
it's great.
But the singles. Yeah. So the singles was like a little bit different. And then, the next day, we were just sitting out with somebody on that first day. So I got to play on the upstairs. It was all great. And then the next day, was playing five, and that means getting shipped down to lower Libby, which is literally a world away.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Think there's any college tennis match that's like that, you know, where you're literally, I mean, it's got to be like a half a mile, right?
I mean, but I think that's also what makes Ojai special, you know?
Absolutely. You don't see that anywhere else. It's super cool.
I remember, was this the year Connor Hans clinched?
That was the year before.
Okay.
That was the year before, but I was there for that also. And he did that in the down below. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody rushed down downstairs. Yep.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video of that, man. So, just a couple of more questions to you before we get to the final segment of the podcast episode presented by TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress. Is Southern California the toughest section to play tennis in the United States?
Yes, I know this is a hot topic of the junior tennis conversation. I gotta say yes. I mean, always good respect to Florida. I mean, Northern California has come along over the years. Texas always danger. You know, everywhere is strong. Let's be honest. Everywhere is really good. I'd just say probably the depth. I guess would be the key thing there. The depth in Southern California, there's like a million, you know, everybody plays and everybody is good. So yes, every section has kids that can play for sure, and there's really high levels all around, but the depth in Southern California has to be what makes it the best. Mm-hmm. Everybody can play.
What was your favorite junior tournament in Southern California?
Oof. Good question. In Southern, I mean, not that I didn't like going to Orange County every weekend, but like they're all, most looking back, they're all the same. I mean, I look forward to the national ones the Ojai is something that you really look forward to. I never played that great there, but that's something, I mean, it's a change up. It's something different. You go in the middle of the week. It starts on a Thursday. All the other tournaments, you know, on Saturday, you can miss school when you're in middle school or in high school.
Yeah, it's like a good week to be a high school student. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, so I'd say that. I mean, all the other ones are, I mean, you know, you go to if you're at Weill, you guys are getting in the van and you're going to, you got to go to Orange, you got to go to Anaheim this weekend, you got to go to Fullerton, you got to go to San Diego.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'm not complaining at all, but it's all right. You know, it's all the same.
Yeah. It's a different vibe.
Yes, exactly.
So one last question. How much do you think you have matured as a person in your time at UCLA?
Gosh, so much. Like, I was physically, but probably mentally and emotionally was a kid as a friend, like literally a kid. Coach Billy will tell you that. So shy, little. I mean, that's it. That's the easiest way to put it. Like, as a freshman, I was like that. And then, you know, each year gone on and, really, really matured. I know I've become the leader of the team. I know my teammates will look to me, look up to me. Try to give my advice, what it means to be a Bruin, a great Bruin, and try to show them the way. But yeah, so much each and every year. I know the coaches and my family are, I hope they're proud of that.
And do you think because of the fact that you are a student athlete, you mature this way? Or do you think both student athletes and just regular students mature the same way and at the same pace?
No, I would say no, it's not it would not be at the same pace, and that's okay. Everybody has, you know, everybody's got their own, is in their own lane. Everybody has their own thing, and it's okay. Like, it takes people a different amount of time than others. I think it's just, you know, part of being in the college system as part of the team. You pick up on things as you go along, and then it really starts to click. But it's a full process. This is my fifth year. It's the accumulation of all 5 years together that has helped me grow and mature.
Nice.
So
this is the last segment of the podcast. It's called the D15, presented by Tap. It's just basically five rapid fire questions. You can answer them as fast as you can. Okay.
Great.
Athletics or academics?
Athletics.
Favorite college memory?
Beating USC at home in 2019.
Favorite college doubles partner?
Max Cressy.
Most listened artist at the moment?
I knew you were going to ask this, and I have such a wide variety. I listen to it all. You're not cool unless you... I mean, from Taylor Swift to Drake, but you're not cool unless you say Drake.
All right.
But everywhere. I mean, I like it all.
Now, Drake is actually the answer that has repeated the most throughout
over
100 episodes of the one-on-one podcast. Other than tennis related, what profession would you like to attempt?
Coaching, sports administration, coaching.
Okay, and what's your media? I didn't get to ask you that. Your major,
Political science.
Okay, and is that something social. You actually, are you trying to do that after college or not really?
Not so much, to be honest. I would have majored maybe a sports business, sports management type thing, but they don't, you know, in the UC system, they don't really have that, you know, that variety, which is okay. But I've enjoyed poli sci, and yeah, I've taken some history classes. I mean, it's been nice.
Actually, I'm gonna squeeze one more question in because I think it's important for the people to know, the people considering going to UCs. Now that you're talking, I remember being in California, how important just the UCs are. You know, the University of California Irvine, University of California Davis, UCLA, yep, University of California Riverside, and all these different universities. What do you think of just the UC system in general?
Super strong. I think about it all the time. It's like, you know, you see here, you see there. I mean, they're all just great, great schools, academically. Like, I mean, they all have great sports programs as well, but the academics is just so strong. And it's, you can go anywhere up and down the coast, and up Northern California, Southern California, down into San Diego, you know, just a great...
you can't get it wrong, right?
Yeah, you can't. It's true. Great school. And there's definitely, they got something to offer for anybody, for any type of student or athlete.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Ben, that's actually all I got for you today, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. I truly appreciate it. I know you were in the middle of the season right now. Yesterday, you guys got a great win against UNLV. So, yeah, man, keep the success going. And for sure, you guys make an impact in the NCAA this year.
Great. Thank you so much, Eduardo. I really appreciate you having me on. Go Bruins.
For sure, man. Thanks also to all the listeners for being here with us for another episode of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP. And see you guys next time.